As a child in war-torn Somalia, Awais Malir experienced untold acts of violence. He saw friends and family killed in massacres. Leaving Somalia, his family spent weeks walking to Kenya. Along the way, his youngest sister died. The family couldn't give her a proper burial.
The feeling I have about those terrible things are very, very bad. And I'm still wondering why things like that happen, why people do this to other people.
In Kenya, his family spent a decade living in refugee camps.
Even when we came to the refugee camp, it was not like a safe place that we could say that this is really a good place.
9 years ago, Awais Malir was resettled in Utah. Later, he moved to Pittsburgh. When he was resettled, he had paid housing for a few months. He took language lessons. He had health care. But he says he was never offered mental health services.
Sometime I think about getting some, you know, treatment and see if, but adapting with this culture and living in peaceful, I don't think that there is any need right now, but sometime I feel like going there to take some treatment.
Now 30 years old, he's married with 5 children. He works at Sam's Club and is president of the Somali Bantu Community Association of Pittsburgh. He says he tries not to think of the past, but certain things will trigger bad memories.
If I don't hear anything that is not really, that is gun-related issue that happens everywhere that I hear, then this comes like I dream about what happened in the past. It reminds me, like you ask me today, maybe tonight I'm going to be having a dream about what I talked to you about. I will still feel like I'm still in Somalia and facing the same problem.
In 2012, more than 58,000 refugees were resettled in the United States. A couple thousand of them were resettled in Pennsylvania.
Refugees come from places that tend to be difficult. I mean, nobody chooses to be a refugee. People become refugees.
Marco Gemiani teaches psychology at Duquesne University and works with refugees at Catholic Charities Health Clinic.
These are truly survivors of war or survivors of torture. So in that case, we see high frequency of post-traumatic stress disorder and that are difficult to treat and at times also difficult to recognize.
Gemiani says different cultures present trauma or PTSD differently than Americans are used to seeing. Here, he says, people tend to express themselves verbally.
But other societies tend to have other modes of expression that oftentimes tend to be more psychosomatic. So people may not talk about nightmares or about recurring memories or invasive memories, but they may instead tell us that they have a strong headache, that they lost the appetite, that they have a strong pain in the neck.
Those sorts of questions detailing physical symptoms have now been incorporated into the state assessment physical providers fill out when refugees first arrive. That's part of Gemiani's task as well. After people are here for a while, searching for what lies behind physical symptoms, a task that requires sensitivity and patience and time. Before coming to Pittsburgh, Gemiani worked with refugees in Bosnia and researched the effects of forced migration on mental health.
People take two main stances toward their trauma. One is that trauma is something in the past. So they typically say, the past is past, I don't want to go there, I don't want to talk about it, I don't care, I don't think about that. I just try to look at the future. The other position that apparently seems antithetical, but is not to the previous one, is that people say, the past is my strength.
Like Awais Malir, refugees may not always want to address the past. Malir says unless trauma turns into full-blown PTSD, most people he knows won't go for counseling. One of his roles as a community leader is to accompany others to doctor's appointments, help translate, and along the way, destigmatize the process. He says helping others has helped him heal. Among his fellow Somalian refugees, he says there are a lot of people who need mental health help, but most won't ask for it.
If you go inside and try to look the problem, I will say that in 10, you will find 7 having the problem.
Those who work resettling refugees say the act itself of resettlement can be traumatic, but there aren't always services available. Leslie Eisenman works for Jewish Family and Children's Services. She says although they are aware people come from difficult pasts, they don't have all the resources to help people work through them while also helping them establish new lives here.
There's not a lot in Pittsburgh right now to help them, but we're working on it.
Bashar Abdul Razak, an Iraqi refugee, says his last few years in Iraq and then in Jordan before coming here were traumatic.
Like when we are sleeping during the night, we were like fully dressed, because you don't know like when somebody like kick your front door and like ask you for interrogations or something like that, and you don't know, or just like kidnapped you, you know.
He feels some frustrations. A trained physician, he isn't certified here. His relatives were resettled in other countries or are in Iraq, subject to daily turmoil. But now, when he goes to sleep at night, he can wear pajamas. When his son leaves for school, he doesn't worry he'll be kidnapped. He knows interrogators won't break into his house or explosions won't go off nearby. And that, he says, has helped.
These tiny things, but you can't imagine, like when you put your head on pillow and you don't think about all this, it's amazing.
Trauma can be reinstigated by certain things. Sounds and sights that remind people of what caused their initial trauma. Awais Malir says watching news coverage will bring back bad memories.
You know, as someone who had been experiencing a lot of these kind of issues back home, I don't feel like, you know, there is, in this world, I don't think there is a place where you can say it is really safe and peaceful. I don't think that there is any place like that.
But overall, his life has been greatly improved by moving to the United States. And if he was still in Somalia or in camps in Kenya, he says he doesn't think he would still be alive.
Everywhere you go, but there is a better place than the other place. That's how I could say, you know. And Pittsburgh's better than the refugee camp. And also, the refugee camp was just better than Somalia. So that's how it is.
I'm Erica Barris, 90.5 WESA.